Dear Father, we thank you yet for another conference like this to train by your Spirit. We receive a fresh breath into what we do by your Spirit. We step into your will, Father, this evening as we listen. We listen like students, as we receive like children. And your Son, Jesus, is glorified and exalted in all that we do this evening. He's glorified, edified, alongside the body of Christ in many, many centuries to come. Amen. All right, have your seat. Like I said last night to of you, and I believe we took that initiative, I've learned that repetition is so important. Because I told you last night I was going to share this here again. You know, and I shared a story with them that I want to repeat. You know the story very well. And I mentioned how one should never get familiar with the things of God, or let's use the word over familiar. Might be the right word. And, you know, even in relationships that, I tell people that no one should lose respect for your friends, your spouse, because you are in relationship with them. Anything that brings, any familiarity that brings dishonor is extremely wrong. People should, because of you, respect those that you love and that you relate with. And that same thing goes with the things of God. We must carry them with such honor and awe that people will see how we carry the grace of God. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but approving ourselves as the very ministers of Christ. So there's a point, we can get so familiar with what we do and not give it that same push, that same attitude. And it goes with those who have been born again for a while, that have been in church for a while, you know, forgetting the very first time you were told to preach. You know, how you almost didn't even want to preach, how you almost ran away from a leadership role and responsibility. So we're going to deal with a couple of things like that this evening. So hunger is always, it's always a very important factor in what God does in any place. You know, oftentimes when there's a need for revival, as we call it now, of course revival really in scripture means to be born again, but when we use revival in our terms is when there's a re-emphasis, a reawakening. The first thing that happens, and this is very easy to see, is that the people have a fresh wind of revival, I mean repentance, such that there's a new hunger. There's a new hunger. And no one has hunger automatically. Hunger is something you develop by yourself. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5:3, for they shall be filled. So it's your attitude. If you don't have the hunger, and hunger comes up in your attitude, the way you do things, how you approach the things of God, you know, so that I don't become familiar with what is happening. You see, by the time it's easy for you to miss something. And maybe you think, well, I'll download it, something like that. You know, I'll get it, you know. It's easy for you. And you can have a legitimate reason. You know, something has happened, etc. And you want to, excuse yourself. It comes with that same attitude of familiarity. Whereas some people are waiting. You have to check it. You know, I tell this story a lot. Why? I'm very choosy when it comes to food. In fact, I've done it again today. I'll just tell you. If I told those who served me, I said, if not that I was fasting, I wouldn't have eaten this thing. So you understand my principle. When I'm fasting, I'll finish it then. I'll say, I don't like it. You know, I wouldn't have eaten it. You know, but the point is, because I was hungry, because you are fasting and you're not hungry, then you are sick. So, that's why I'm eating this thing. You know, my point is, I had to be hungry to eat what I was not eating. Now, that may be negative. But the point is, if you have hunger, you will eat. But if you're not hungry, you will say, this one, maybe it should have been served in this one, it should have been served in that place, it should have been served in this place, you know. No. So there's hunger for the things of God that we must develop. Because when you don't respect something, others will honor it. I use this story of, you know, university days, when one guy, colleague, he had this lady who just threw his shoes, I think it was sandal away. And, I was just watching, I wasn't part of the thing, I didn't know what was wrong. But I learned a simple lesson. She said, why did you do that? And the lady was just talking without respect. So someone that we highly regard in the class, well, you know what I mean, that is the most brilliant. You know, another female just saw the shoes. I said, what's your, let me bring my shoes. Someone that we all respect now took the same shoes, brought it, and said, what? And I brought it and said, what happened? And I explained. You know, the point was, what you thought you could despise, somebody else did not despise it. I learned from simple things like that. Because it's in the Word. When Israel, for example, they felt they had everything. And they became arrogant. They, you know, were doing all sorts. They had time to be having Pharisees and Sadducees. Arguing. Are you the son of Joseph? Are you not the one? Paul also was called, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. And so the thing fell on the Gentiles. They now became the vessel nation for the gospel in the earth. And Paul now warned them too. Say, if you think you can become arrogant, the same fate will befall you. So we have to all watch our attitude. You know, you must check it as a believer. We have to be telling you, why are you not taking notes? Why should they tell you that again? You've been in meetings, we have corrected people in your presence, you have seen it. You go to other churches that follow us, they take notes, you are even scared. What are they writing? You are nothing. Bending your face like somebody that is possessed. It's a problem. It means something has gone wrong. So we have to be very careful of the sin of familiarity. It happened to many people in scripture. Versus church service. You can easily call in to not come for church. You can easily, and I know some of you here, when we have camp meeting, believers convention, you sleep in the hall. In the hall. You will trek to get to meetings. Now you have cars. You are sending texts. Cargo, you will trek to get to the meetings. Now you have a car. You have money. So you can send text because you have money. Pastor, I'm sorry, sir. You know, sir. You say, it's not growth, though. Look at the word in the moment. Just pay attention. It's not growth. It's an attitude. You developed it. It's the same way you will abandon your quiet time, and then you don't feel anything. You don't feel anyhow about it. You won't. Like I often say, when an error becomes a habit, you will look for a theology to suit it. Yes. And you say, what's this big deal? Must we? You are now losing respect for things you held in awe. Why? Because Your habit has become your theology. Unfortunately. So we have to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You guard your heart. Say, I guard my heart. You have to guard your heart. For Isaiah says, I like this. You like what? I told someone, I said, you left. The person used to attend the church, we used to hear the sermons 3 hours. I said, you left that place. You now came to a church. There were too many screens to even concentrate. Screens! They're pushing scriptures. I said, the entire sermon, you were asking me what they were preaching the other day. You were the one that asked me, what do they preach? I said, I don't know. You know the church I'm talking about. I said, I don't know. We try to say, what is he saying eventually? This fellow that was in a church, 3 hours we are there, was in an intercessory group that I belonged to. And we'll go, every Tuesday we'll come to somewhere in Yaba here, and we'll pray from 5 to about 9. We are now in a place where the sermon is 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And even you probably didn't come at the beginning. You cannot, you are not growing. You can't move from 3 hours to 20 minutes. That is backsliding. How can you move from somebody who used to do storm and you win 80 souls to 8 souls a week? You are not, you are backsliding. Don't let anybody fool you. You have Walkman in your ears. You play it all day. Now you struggle to listen to a teaching. You are backsliding. You don't fool yourself. So here we are. We have a choice. To keep at it, or let others continue from where we stopped. It's a choice. You know you can keep at it, or you let others continue from where you stopped. I told your pastors yesterday. This was what I told them. I said, we are all very young. Don't start feeling you are an elder in the faith. I said, I'm not. You are not. We are all very young. We have years ahead of us. Because there are people we are looking at ahead who are many years ahead of us, and they are still vibrant and consistent. We are very young. Don't start feeling like you are one chief pastor. I'm very young. I'm a very young person. And if I am this year, by the grace of God, 30 years in the ministry, and I'm still telling you I'm very young, then give yourself blame. Voice have feeling, you don't need this one, you don't need that one, you don't need what? Backsliding. So here we are. We have the choice to keep God's fire burning in our lives. If Timothy could be reminded, look at Timothy. Timothy was not a mean fellow. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, and he mentioned Timothy. Philippians 2:19, 2 to 21 to 22. He said, I will set Timothy shortly to you. He said, I know no man like-minded who will care for your affairs. He said, look, this guy, the verse will say, I vomited him. He came out of me. This is my guy. He had been with Paul. If I look at all of Paul's letters, Timothy featured. He then I featured in someone he's referring to, or one of the people that wrote it, or somebody sent it to. I mean, he was so prominent. Yet he told Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, he said, prophecy has gone before. You have to war. Then he now told him, 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gifts which is in you, given you by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the presbytery or elders. If he can say that to Timothy, you know, and why did he have to say it? In fact, in 2 Timothy 1:6, he repeats it, stir up. In fact, if you read 2 Timothy, it has very short words, continue, fight, stay, remain. Why? Timothy has gone to Ephesus to rescue the church from what Paul had predicted earlier in Acts 20:29. After my departure, shall grievous wolves come in among the flock, not sparing them at all. And then he says, and from among yourselves shall some arise, or men arise, speaking perverse things, seeking to draw disciples after themselves. You see that Ephesus also featured Revelation 2 and 3, when John spoke to the angel of the churches. So they did not listen. They did not heed. When somebody doesn't listen to instruction, he ends up that way. So you have to send Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:3. Abide in Ephesus. Said that he will charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So, Ephesus was experiencing mixture, syncretism, backslidings. So if Timothy was there, you would have thought, since you are the one going to rescue, I mean, what else will I say to you? I'm just telling you, go and rescue them. Go and preach. Go and teach. He said, you too neglect not. Why? Because there's a tendency to get influenced by what you are opposing. There's a tendency to get influenced by the very thing you are opposing. Moses and Aaron, consistently from Exodus through to Numbers, they kept having the people murmured and spoke against Moses and Aaron. The people murmured and spoke against the people murmured. Such that Paul had to write to the church in Corinth. He says, do not murmur as they did, verse 10, and were destroyed of the destroyer, 9 and 10. He warned them. But notice something. It got to a point. Aaron and Miriam also murmured. Ah, why? They did not guard their hearts. If you keep hearing things, without guarding your heart, you will do it. If you keep watching, except you are dumb, you are very silly. I have warned you against these days people, they will do skits, they call it skits. They will be using pastors, churches. I don't watch any. I love entertainment. Everybody should. You are a normal human being. But guard your heart. Paul warned about jokes that are not convenient. Don't watch things. Don't go after news. Some of you like news. Any news. You subscribe for people. They call a blog Olokofo. Then you subscribe for it. Gist lover. You subscribe for. How can you subscribe for gist lover? A born again person. You subscribe. And the kind of people when you now see proper news, you just say summarize please. A Christian. You listen to things like that, and then you discover that before you know it, everything you said you will never do, you start doing that. Miriam and Aaron, Numbers 12, began to speak against Moses. It's believed, it's an argument, logic, that in Numbers 11, Moses chose 70 people. Well, he said he couldn't bear the burden alone. That it's possible that they became a bit uncomfortable. Why would he choose another 70 when we are here? It's plausible. But the point is, the moment. The head of everything we are saying was that Moses himself. Moses himself now was caught in the very things that he spoke against. You have to guard your heart. You have to do it consciously. Guard your heart. Guard what you are suddenly comfortable with. Hallelujah. So Paul could speak to Timothy and say, neglect not. Stay up. Keep the fire burning. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'll never forget something a dear friend, Little Ogulehe, wrote me about 29 years ago, I believe. The letter he wrote, there was no day for text or emails then. And one important thing he said, Anything can be lost, but not your zeal and passion. If that is lost, everything is lost. He said, keep your passion. Never lose your passion. So you check it. The excitement, enthusiasm with which you do things. Enthusiasm. It's gone. Then you are gone. So I put out three things that you must always keep in your routine. Three. Because look at me, guys. There's none of us that cannot backslide. Don't try. Don't think it can happen. There was a fellow who went on TV. His ministry was doing very well. One of the largest in America. Was on TV, had TV ratings, so he stood on TV. Brother Higgins was one that told the story. I know the person. And he said, look at our ministry. Look at how big we have been. He said, what will God do without me? Brother Higgins said, when he heard it, he knew the man was going down. In a few months, everything went. Brother Higgins said, the ministry was closed down, his job was closed down, and God has been fine since then. It's none of us. If you don't guard yourself from pride, what happens to proud people will happen to you. If you don't guard yourself from immorality, what happens to immoral people will happen to you. If you don't guard yourself from those who are, you know, who are unruly, it's going to happen. If you don't guard yourself from hypocrites, you see, if you don't, it's a cycle. It will happen. It's incumbent on you to guard your heart. So I put out three things that I must ensure I keep doing. I must ensure I keep doing. Make sure they say a boss vacuum for something not just to have activity is wrong. I was reminding them, was it yesterday, I think, in the meetings we just ended. And I said to them, what everybody was talking about, this meeting, that meeting, this meeting. I said, I warned them in Saints Community Church about this. Because I use this illustration oftentimes. If you run a 100 meters race, and you are so, you know, I don't know what speedy racer, go. You know the speedy racer? Looking at me. And you're running, so you see the tape. You're about to breast the tape. There's a sense of fulfillment. Like, oh! Then, as you're breasting the tape, they now say, ah! You know, nobody will go, they now say, ah! 50 meters more is unlikely. You'll be able to pick up that. Say, 50 meters. 50. How? Why? Because you have dropped the momentum in celebrating a feat. So whenever you have a glorious meeting, I always tell you, camp meeting is over. The next important meeting is today's prayer meeting. Hope you remember it. I say it all the time. Because if you keep doing that, you will live in past glory. What the effect of that meeting is for another meeting. The effect of today's prayer is for another prayer time. The effect of studying the word today is for another time. The effect of getting somebody born again is for another person to be born again. Activity births activity. The reward for job well done in God's kingdom is more work to be done. Never find yourself in a position of complacency or inactivity. So I have three things I shared, I'm going to say to you. I said number one, never toy with the fellowship of one another, of like mind. Hebrews 10. It says, not forsaking. 25. The assembling together of one another as the manner of some is. An instruction. And the word there is episunagoge, which is attending physical meetings. Look at this. It's not difficult to know how important gatherings are. Jesus gave them an instruction. Luke 24:49. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost said come upon you. He gave them that instruction. But you know something? They didn't have to be told. As soon as he left them physically speaking, by Acts 1:15-16, they were gathering together steadfastly and praying. Nobody has to tell you. Nobody. In Acts 2:42, people got born again. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. It's a given. When Saul of Tarsus got born again, he was introduced to the church. It's what has to happen. Fellowship. Coming around people of like passions. Fellowship. Cell leaders training. Workers convention. Workers congress. Sunday service. Workers meetings. Prayer meetings. Prayer group meetings. Leaders meetings. All those meetings. You mustn't forsake any. You mustn't neglect any. There's help in meetings. There's assistance in meetings. The gathering of believers is meant to keep the fire burning for you. That's number one. Don't joke with the fellowship of believers. Don't get so busy. So busy. Oh, I would have loved to come, but I would have been there. But, cherish it. Want to be there. Secondly, your personal devotion. Your personal devotion. Where early in the morning, you wake up to pray. You wake up to hear the word. Sometimes in the afternoon, you get up to pray. You get up to hear the word before you sleep. You keep it constant. Let me ask you, apart from the prayer chain we do as a church, what time do you have every day that you don't toy with, you don't joke with, you ensure that you spend time in the word and prayer? Don't forget that. Your personal devotion of prayer, of, you know, where you are spending time. Moses recorded in alone with God, morning devotion, quiet time, whatever name it goes by. Number three, activity. Always be around activity. Always be around activity. Have that knack for always being around activity. You don't see this. You don't cure inactivity by thinking about it. You don't cure inactivity by talking about it. You cure inactivity by being active. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, Romans 12:11, serving the Lord. You find yourself serving the Lord. Don't become comfortable. You know something? You just become comfortable. Well, I will, let, as long as I'm just doing this. Someone told me this years ago. You know, sometimes we can be very arrogant. The person said, I'll be out of ministry. I know. And the person told me back, said, I know what you will say. You know what I'll say. And I say it. I'll just stay up for some time. I know I'll stir myself up. Say, I'll just go for some retreat. The person was telling me how she was going to get herself back. I said,
Ask her who taught her. The same person.
Some people are very stupid. How many things you know I'm here to teach you? Yeah, I just tell myself. The person is saying, till now. How are you? How many years now? You will grow that way. Because you have a bad attitude. A horrible attitude. Someone told me, he said, all I need is just listen to you for a few years. 1 or 2 years. Once he came to me a couple of months ago, said, you need to help me. I said, finally. He said, yes, finally. I said, but it's too late. It's very late. It's late. It's not like the Unprofitable Servant story. That film by Mount Zion. That one was too late. Very, very late. This one is similar, but it's not the same. Because that opportunity is not there again. I mean, so I told this guy, I said, those days we'll be together. And you know, you see me, we can talk for 3 hours. I don't have short time to talk to you for 3 hours. Because the person knew. It's the truth. But the same person that was a time, you could come and meet me anytime and we'll talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. That time has gone. It has gone. There's nothing I can do, but it's not my fault. I've left where we used to be. It's not my fault. And I don't intend to go back there. So look at you. If you had listened then, listen! Don't play with backsliding. Is it now you make money? You buy SUV. Some of my friend, a friend of us, said, let me tell you what you want to do. He was looking at me. Almost upset. It was at Emilio Aquila. I said, you buy a Jeep. You now live in Ikoyi. Is that it? He said, ah. I said, I know what you want to do. You now buy a Jeep. Live in Ikoyi. You now be able to travel around the world. You are backsliding! That's it. Is it Jeep that made me know you? Say, no, I'm just, Oga, if you like, buy a private jet, that flies in the street. He changes nothing. You're backsliding. If you like, listen. Don't go and live a life of regret. A life of total regret. Activity. Get back into activities. Evangelism. Get back into it. Fix the time. Take a break of other activities. Get into activities. Spiritual ones. Number one, don't miss fellowship. What did I say? Don't miss fellowship. Two, your personal devotion. Don't step out of the house. The little foxes ruin the vine. He's telling out of the house. Yes, please don't. 20 minutes. I thank you, Father. I told some of you. I reminded you. When you were not a leader, you were not a pastor, you take my Facebook post and be eating it like raw garri. Be eating it. Now, you just share it. M-O-G. Because you know what's there. The truth is that you are backsliding. That is the truth about your life. Because it's the word of God. You are backsliding. Fellowship. Devotion. And activity. Don't become familiar. Go back to the attitude, the door with which you receive the word. The awe you had. The childlike spirits. A person was telling me about a particular person. Non-incontinent. And this, I like testimonies like this. You know? Known around the world. said, but you will not find an iota of pride. Submits to a pastor younger. Wealth. Not even near. I didn't even know. Says that person. Ah. I said, this person attends your church. I said, yes. Ah. That when we're in a worship session, the person will be ruling on the floor. Somebody known all over the world. The other guys known on their streets. Ordinary manager. Manager. You know what a manager is? Manager. Manage it. Manager. They are finished. So I was going on, said, anytime this person takes correction, does not argue. Someone that, on a natural, you know the people that, if you are correcting them, you'll be trusting God that they will be in the spirit. Because of who they are in the natural. That's the kind of person. In fact, if I mention the person's name, it's a prominent person. Say, but in church, ha. You rule on the floor, worshipping. Anything they are doing, will run, come and do it, and all that. That there was a time, the person was having one big project. Will be coming from, I think, fly about 2 or 3 hours to be attending sessions and going back and going back. You know that kind of person? I'm somebody that will be flying private jets to go to work. That's the person I'm talking about. That is church. They just gave you offer letter. Management training. Yeah, you know this. Yes, shoulder pad. When I hear things like that, they capture me easily. Because I know, you cannot be growing and be proud. In fact, spiritual growth makes you, Brother Hagin will say, you handle earthly things more lightly. When you see billionaire as well, spiritually, spiritually sound, you won't hear them talk about how wealthy they are. That's how you know. Are you here? You check your spiritual temperature. Doctors, you know how you do those things? You check our temperature, 30. We're passing through the airport today. All of us are doing 36. I told Pastor, this is not working. He said it's working. Ah, all of us are 36. Ah. Did I transfer my temperature to you? So you have to check your temperature. They are teaching the word. They're just thinking, when will pastor round off? When did you become like this? When did you start looking at the wristwatch to know when the service is going to end? It is not, it's a sign of something bad. Something horrible. Maybe pastor is talking about me. Oh, let me say, I think you are preaching about me. I said, two reasons. Why I won't preach about you? You are not that important. Number two, the Bible is too big and you are not there. Even if I'm talking about you, I'm your pastor, I can talk about you. I can preach about you. I can use you to preach. Huh? All our fathers. Pastor, are they not human beings? I will say to Archippus, is it not in the sermon? Don't you use it? You have a sermon. Say to Archippus. It's now a topic. I can use the priest and your pastor. You got my point? I'll be afraid of a pastor that cannot talk to you. I say, I want to collect you. I don't know whether you... So someone I say, look for another church. There are many. In fact, there's another community. Not far from here. Yes. So don't miss fellowship. Did you hear that? Don't miss your devotion. Don't miss it. Let it be so sacred. Your devotion is so sacred. So sacred to you. Sacred! Of course, roll into activities. So that leads me to the question for the moment. What is in your hand? What is in your hands? What is in your hand? I stand here before you as your friend, your brother, your pastor, your teacher, having been given and allowed by God to have experiences that were not palatable, and I'm still going to have more because I'm growing, a growing Christian. I've told you over the years. Someone told me, he said, Pastor, you've always been saying you are growing. Am I not growing? When I told you that then, have I not grown? Said the other. I'm a growing Christian. Open to God's Spirit. Open to be led. Open to be taught. Open to make mistakes and correct it. But listen. By the same experiences God has allowed me to have, that is why I'm here today standing before you as your pastor and leader. I have told you some things very easily. One of them, if you remember, that anyone who abandons the flock will never fulfill his ministry in life. Go and check it. Anyone. It's just how it happens. Because those things are treated by God with specialty. But let's get back to this. What is in your hands? Some of us are struggling where we should not struggle. And when we should not struggle. You can't determine time. I like that song by Nathaniel Bassey. You've got times and seasons in your hands. Acts 1:7. Would you at this time restore the kingdom against Israel? It is not for you. He said, but to know the times and seasons which the Father has put where? In his own power. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. But next year, I'll do it. Someone told me this. The person is listening to me now. He said, by next year, sir. When I do next year, I knew that fellowship will never grow. I said this one. We are saying by the Spirit of God, do something in November. You said February. You can't make progress. That November, said by your pastor, is the Spirit of God. We are not setting targets in a company. No! We are led by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Guys, I can go from pastor to pastor, nation to nation, of how many pastors took a hold of supernatural harvest by the Spirit. And their ministries have gone boom. Boom! What's happening to you? I'll tell you why in a moment. For those of you who need to hear this, what is in your hands? What is in your hands? In Mark's Gospel chapter 4, Mark 4, there are many parables in Mark 4 about the seed. The parable of the sower, the first one, which starts from verse 3. And Jesus finished it in verse 20. Then another parable, verse 21 to verse 23. And he always ends with, he that has an ear, let him hear. Another one from verse 24 to verse 25, 26, 27, 28 to 29. So what I want to pick on, notice all the parables, most of the parables, except one, were about seed. We call it the Genesis principle. Seed. But look at verse 30. Where unto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? How do we compare the ministry? With what way? How can I describe what is in your hand today? How can I describe what you are doing in a better, in Isolo? How can I describe what you are doing in K2? How can I describe what you are doing In Epe, Igodo, in Benin Republic. How do I describe what you are doing? He says, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Kingdom principle. Then he says, but when it is what? Sown. It grows up, and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. The previous parable, I'll just make a slight reference to it, said a man cast seed in the ground, 26, should sleep and rise day, night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and knows not how. The earth brings forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the air, after that full corn in the air. And when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. Notice, in every harvest there is seed for more harvest. Look at the first thing. He said, when you look at the seed, it is the smallest. Look here. Why do you think the farmer will plant it? Because he doesn't see it as small. If you ask a farmer, what is in your hands? I'm a farmer too. What do we buy? We buy seeds. Specialized seeds. And look at what we do. When we take those seeds, so small, infinitesimal as it were, in bags. We did one last year, and we planted in over 100 hectares. 100 hectares. When we put the seed in the ground, we didn't see it. But every day, herbicides, this one side, over something that looked insignificant. Why were you doing that? Because we knew he was going to grow. We knew the effort. The previous year, we had a calamity, a calamitous loss. I had to get a nephew of mine who was a consultant. He said, Uncle, that's not it. He's a specialist agronomist. So he sat down, helped us map out the whole place, and of course, he increased the money we were spending. Much more caution, much more overseed. He said, look, this one. He told me what they got. This, you know, if I write, I'm speaking now, he's out of the country. He has gone to another nation where they are developing a new technology. Let me just leave that. On seed. Everything you are eating today started from seed. Why did the farmer put it down? Because he didn't see his seed. If you ask me, what are you planting? I'll say, I'm a maize farmer. Then, I did beans. I'm a beans farmer. So when you hear, is it beans? I understand it. I don't know, is it yam? I know, is it beans? We bought so many seeds. For the seeds, this must be special. This must be this one. To plant it and start watching it. You know, we now had people that we put over each hectare who will be watching. Any seed, they'll take it out. Any seed, they'll, night and day, they'll just every day watching the seed come out. Such is the ministry. If it's not planted, it will not grow. If it's not planted, it will not grow. Such is the ministry. The farmer sees a harvest. The farmer doesn't see a seed. He has a seed, but he sees a harvest. Are you there? In Job chapter 8. Job 8 and verse 7. Bildad, one of those friends, said this. Though thy beginning was small,
Yet thy latter end shall greatly what? Increase. The word beginning there is Reshith. The Genesis 1:1 word. First fruit. Was small. Your latter end will be great. Look at the next thing he says. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. Prepare thyself to search of their fathers. For we born of yesterday are not nothing, because our days upon the earth are in shadow. Then he says, shall not they teach you and tell you, and utter words out of their hearts? I just told you what I did. I got an experienced person. He said, you have to inquire. You have to ask. I said, Olubide, come and help us. He showed me his results. And he showed me what he had, you know, done. I said, you are going to have to help us. So I set up the team. I made sure that the management were listening to him. He said, let's do this, let's do that one, let's do this one, let's do that one. You know, why? Because we had to listen to those who have been there. You will remain where you are if you do not listen and learn. Who will tell you your beginning is small, but your latter days will increase? Those who have been there. Why would your pastor call you a cell leader and say you are a pastor? Because he's seeing something in the seed in your hand. Why are you seated here today? And you find those who have been in ministry before you were born again seated here with you. Why are we sharing these things with you? Because I believe that your latter days will increase. So the point is, are you listening? I had to warn many younger pastors. One of them told me, said, thank you, sir, for the warning you gave me. I used to say, I pastor a small church. I warned them. Start saying a growing church. He said, as I changed my confession, I started seeing something else. And boom. I said, that is it. I used to tell them, those who are with us, those who have known me, some of them 24 years, some of them 20 years, I say, what we are saying today is not for you. It's for many nations. Because I knew what was in my hands. I knew what it was. I was never going to treat with levity. I'll get to that in a moment. I knew what was in my hands. I carried it with all, see, the way I will handle the venue, the kind of venue I got, the kind of way I told myself, 1 year, I said, I'll pay the whole year. If you know the year I'm talking about. I'm talking about 24 years ago. And I was paying 120,000 per year on a venue we were using twice. I paid it. 120,000. I look for money in whatever way they look for money in this world. And the offerings were not even enough as offerings for sin. It wasn't the offering. Why was I doing it? I knew where we were going. Where we were going. So what is in your hands? What do you have in your hands? What Moses had for 40 years in Exodus 1 into 2. That he was just, Exodus 2, pardon me. That he was just, you know, at the back side of the desert. And Lord said, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, throw it down. That rod led a nation. How many years? What is in your hands? What's in your hands? What do you think is in your hands? What do you think is committed to your trust? What do you think is in your hands? What do you think you are doing on Tuesdays? How do you see it?
You think it's just Pastor Lan is just stressing you? That's what you are going to get. Pastor Wale, oh I don't know. That is what you are going to get. That is what you are going to get. What's in your hand? So your perception is very important. The guy came to me. Today, to the glory of God, it's one of those who celebrate what we do and thank God for his life. I have to say this story. He said to me, he said, look, all these ones that you are doing, you know, he said, I think it's just youthful exuberance. It was in my room. I laughed. And I said, 1998. I said, not. It's a global ministry. And you will see. Yes, I just feel we should all just pack up what we're doing and just go and find a church and go and do this. I said, you can go ahead. So I heard from heaven. And I know what I'm doing. And that guy came 2 years ago, 2 years after, sorry, and sat down with me. We're in the sun. I can't remember, forget it. We're in the sun. He said, I just want to tell you, Jesus, I said, keep your advice. What is in my hands will reach the world. When I was saying that, we're only two left. By the next week, the second person said, I'm not doing it again. But no. I was going somewhere to preach. They called me to preach somewhere. I was going there. I would tell them, our ministry, I can't say our ministry. There was nobody I was referring to. Our ministry. Because I knew what was in my hands. How do you see? You can't even fast for what is in your hands. We'll get to that. You can't be, complaining. What is in your hands? Though, says, your latter days be small. But, sorry, your beginning be small. Or your latter days. Look at Zechariah chapter 4. What's in your hands? You need Pastor Jakes to tell you that you're a shepherd. You need Sister Tolani to remind you that this work. You need Sister Tonya to say no. Or brother to remind you that why are we not going now? Why are we not doing this? Sister? The way is the schedule is this one, and then he says, he just dropped the phone and say, you don't know what you have. I thank God for men and women that God has used for me in life. I can't be self-inspired. But let me tell you something. In many crucial moments in my life, I had to value what I had. I've had the worst advice. Even from people. So, the onus is on you. What is in your hands? What can you see? You. Pastor Ayo to be saying every day, hey, you see, where's the report? How would you need that for God's sake? Means you don't value what is in your hands. Zechariah 4. Somebody there? I told you, I'm going to repeat it. If you miss this moment, I'm not sure you can get it again. So open your ears. Do you hear me? Zechariah 4. In verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before the river that shall become a plain? And he shall bring forth the headstone, therefore with shoutings, saying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of God came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this, his hands shall finish it. Pray in tongues over this. I just sense you should pray. My hands have laid this foundation of the church, of the fellowship, of the cell. I will fulfill it. My hands have laid this one. My hands have laid this one. It will finish it. Hey! My hands have laid the foundation. My hands have started this one. Amen. Sit down. You know when you pray like that, it doesn't end here. You go back home to continue praying about it. You get it? He says, and thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me into this. Let's read verse 10 together. For who has despised the days of small things? Are we reading the same things? Who has called it an ordinary mustard seed? Who has called it a small church? Who has despised? I checked the word despised. In the Hebrew, it means contempt. To deride something. To look down on it. To not see anything valuable. Pastor, I was telling someone. The person said, sir, I'm going for a conference at my workplace. I want to take a leave. So I said, assuming you were the pastor of Winners Chapel, Living Faith Church, would you have asked for this permission? The person said, no, sir. You can never have that kind of work in your life if you have this attitude. You are not seeing that that is what you are doing. You are not seeing that that is what you are doing. Would you have asked for this permission? The prophet is asking a question. Who has despised it? Who? Who has despised the days of smoke? And he used the word contempt. Say the way you are going. You can't go anywhere. You can't. You can't. You can't. So if you are the one pastoring, would you have gone for a family Thanksgiving on a Sunday morning as a pastor? Then say, no. I just think since I am not the pastor, your words will come to pass. You know the story of that brother I said to you? I told. You know what I'm saying. I said to him, look, who was in school. I said, the way you are doing ministry. This guy won't end up doing anything. You find it easy to put it second place. You will struggle. You will struggle. You have to. Because you are holding that fellowship in contempt. So now as if you are the pastor of Christ Embassy. I didn't say Saints Community. Would you have missed that service? No, sir. So that means what is in your hands is not what I am seeing. What you are seeing, pardon me, is not what I am seeing. We stand on this pulpit. We sing songs. We prophesy. The glory of the Lord fill the earth. We cover the earth. Is that not why we are saying it? You want to cover the earth and you are seeing what you have as nothing. How do you want to do it? Who has despised the days of little things.
I told you. Faith Family Network. Royal Family. We held our first convention. Kingdom Harvest Festival. 28 years ago. And I got my friends to come and speak. One of them was Reverend Frank. Two of them are late now. Two of them are actually late. And Chijo Gule. I got them hotels. I said they were coming for a special meeting. Hotels. Hotels. Years later, I changed from Star Palace. I moved down to Oriwo Hotel. Oriwo Hotel was the 5-star hotel in Ikorodu. And I put them in the suites. My dad now said, why are you doing this? Your friends are coming. I said, they are men of God. I gave them my car. But those will also come. They will take my car. I will look for money. They were my friends. But I was seeing a worldwide ministry. What are you seeing? Worldwide. An international work of the Spirit. That's what I was seeing. In fact, there was a time we were doing Miracles Extraordinary. That must have been 96 or so. People was around. Pastor Bolu, okay, he's very much around. And the Holy Ghost asked us to extend everything by 4 days. You know what that means? And we're here to even sort out the bill for the last 2 days. I said, okay. I just called the brethren. Holy Ghost has given us problem. And they stayed in the hotel. With my car. That's what the Holy Ghost wanted us to do. Who has despised? We are meeting at those of you in the group, you know, Igbogbo Town Hall. I'm not sure some cells will not be more than that hall. Igbogbo Town Hall. I could do the meeting like, yeah. Who has despised the days of small things? What do you call what is in your hands? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm coming to this in a moment. Hope your ears are open. Verse 6. I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave what? The increase. So then neither is he that plants anything. Neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. You know, you can say, okay, now he that plants and he that waters are one. Every man receives his own reward according to his own labor. So you think that, I just plant, God will give the increase. Okay, God, I just say, God is the one that gives the increase. I say, God, read it very well. Say, according to his labor. Let's take 9 together. For we are laborers. Huh? So how does God give the increase? By our labor. I told one of you, I said, you pray and pray and pray. Then your action after your vigil will negate your prayer. You are wasting your time. If you can't put action to your vigil will become OE. OE, you know OE. Dizzy. Because you are not putting action to what you are doing. God gave the increase because we pray. God gave the increase because we preach intensely. Because we teach our disciples. God gave the increase. Because like the apostles, we will not leave the word of God and serve tables. We will give ourselves continually to prayer. Acts 6:4.
and to the ministry of the word. What is in your hands? Says Community Church. Says Community Church, Port Harcourt. What is in your hands? What is in your hands? What is in, if you see this as a global work in your community, how would you treat it? What is in your hands? What is there? Do you treat your office work with more dignity? With more respect? What is in your hands? You rush to make the time to see your boss. You rush to submit tasks given to you by your managing director, your chairman. Or you give excuses for this one. What is in your hands? What is in your hands? How do you view it? We said the kingdom is like a seed. When it is not sown, it's like the smallest of things in the earth. But when it is planted. I'm going to talk about two miracles. And we'll see how God works. See, God will work with what is in your hands. And He will work with how you see it. Is there anybody here that desires growth for his church and ministry? A few of us. Maximum? Who wants a double? You want it? Are you sure you want it? If you want it, you have to do God's word. That's why I warn young ministers, never speak against numbers. Don't speak down on numbers. Don't speak down on people. Don't even use it as a joke. It's delicate and dangerous. There's a miracle in the four gospels that deals with what we are saying here. A very important miracle. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 15 has it. Matthew 14, sorry. Has it. The miracle of the five loaves and two fish. Mark 6. Luke 9. And John 6. Now, all the four captured a crucial part of what happened. Now, what we say, we just say and say, well, you know, Jesus multiplied five loaves and two fish. Hey, hallelujah. And whatever, it was a great miracle. There are 5,000 men. And we lose sight of something crucial there. I've taught you the miracles of Jesus are theology. Right? So what's the theology there? I taught them for about 4 days. Food had been exhausted. So Matthew, let's read the four accounts. Matthew 14. Jesus said, oh, they healed the sick at the evening, verse 15. It's a desert place, the time is now past. Matthew says, they told Jesus, send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Jesus said, they did not depart. Give ye them what to eat. And they said, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Seeing the situation. Seeing the need. The proposal was, let's close the ministry. Let's stop the meeting. Let's not hold the meeting. They said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let them go. In the Mark's account, Mark 6, Mark 6.
They said to him, oh, the only way we can help these guys, we'll go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them Mark 6:37 to eat. And Jesus said, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And they said, 5 and 2 fish. So look, let's go and buy. The other ones, the first account says, let's send them to go and buy. Let's go and buy. Luke's account is similar to Mark. But look at John 6. In the John 6 story, and verse 9, they said, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Look at what he now said. Let's take the B part. What are they among so many? He said, bring it. So, says community, listen to me. What is in your hands will only grow in the way you see it. Those folks could never have imagined that 5 loaves and 2 fish would be enough to feed 5,000 men minus the women. They didn't see it increase. Jesus said, give it to me. He said, bring it. Bring it. And the first thing he does, hear me, he gave thanks. You can't murmur and see increase. You can't complain and see increase. Remember, the kingdom is in a seed, right? When it is planted. He said, bring it. With thanksgiving, he prayed and he gave thanks. He thanked God for that church, for that fellowship, for that city, for that nation, for that town, for that campus, for that area, he gave thanks. Don't give it. Just bring it. That which you call small, bring it. That which you thought will not amount to anything, he said, bring it. What is your attitude to the seeds given to you? You have 5 workers given to you. You have 5 workers in your church. And you look at them and say, what is this one? Amongst many. Because here we are about to say, as we put in labor, Paul says, God gives the increase, which means increase is miraculous. It's by the power of God. But the power of God works with faith and expectation. It can't work with murmuring and complaining. What is this amongst men? What is this amongst many? What is this for? You know, like I said, that fellow said, can I quickly just say, if you are meant to be on television and speak to the body of Christ, would you have taken that excuse? But you know what will be in your head? What is this amongst many? This cannot amount to feeding 5,000. What is in this fellowship cannot reach the world. What we are doing here cannot bless nations. Because you cannot see what is in your hands. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah goes to the house of a widow. Jesus makes mention of it in Luke 4. And when he said to her, he said, give me water, he said, bring food for me. He said, I have just something for my child to eat and die. He said, bring it. And she brought it. Why did she bring it? She brought it because she knew he was a man of God. What is in your hands? What do you call it? What is in your hands? And when Jesus used that story, he used it in Luke 4 to explain honor. To regard the man of God and the words of God's Spirit. What is in your hands? How do you see it? Zechariah says, who And I'm asking you, Saints Community Church, cell leaders, fellowship coordinators, pastors of churches, who has despised small things? How do we despise? Number one, we give excuses. We grumble. We complain. Excuses show that you are not ready to do it. Because the same energy that you ought to have used, you use it for something else. I just told you. Some of us will rate and rank what we do. Now, of course, as Christians, we should be, faithful, trustworthy, diligent in our work. You know, in the secular world, as we call it. But I'm saying, how come that is more important to you? It's because, what's here? If we start saying for every soul in the fellowship that can be stable and consistent, you take $10,000. If a man can just be stable, many of you will have won $1 million. Easily. $10,000! Your head goes to the calculator, Aboki fix. Above fix or whatever. Hey! That's 6.8 million for one soul. What profits a man to gain this whole money and lose his soul? Let me give the money first. I'll get the soul back. So, if they say 2 hours outreach every day, yet you will carry office work home. You will do it in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Because you think what is in your hand is a hobby. Spare time. How will it make impact? These two miracles happened because there was value placed on the seed. Excuses. Doubt. Doubt. Do you believe your church will reach the nations? Do you believe? You, do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you do, why do you go late? If you do, why don't you take the meeting seriously? If you do, why don't you follow up aggressively? You don't. Doubt. Laziness shows you are really not particular about seeing growth with what is in your hands. So we despise by excuses, doubt, laziness, lack of order. Every week, you shift your meeting from 6:30 to 7. Every week. You are always late. Every week. You can even forget to take the offering. Every week. There may not be light. You will provide for it. Every week. That can never amount to anything. Because you are holding it in contempt. You dress impeccably to church. I mean, to work. You appear, the best of the best. When you are going for a presentation, or you are doing a marketing job, or you want to go and pitch something for your clients, or you want to go and, arrange for something, or you want to do, your head is all there. You want to go and get a client, or you want to go and get a banker's deposit, or your head is all over. You will struggle to see your WhatsApp brochure go out far with the follow-up. You will even read it. It will take you 6 days to read that one. For the one that will fetch you money as it's entering, you are seeing it. You won't amount to anything in ministry. Because only those who hunger and thirst after righteousness that will be filled. You will not say, if you throw a, what do you call this thing? And fan.
200 times, it will land the same way. You have to do things differently. You have to. You have to. You move your meeting. It used to be Monday. Thursday. You move your meeting till when it is convenient for you. When it is convenient for you. I said, nobody in any field in life will make progress this way. When it is convenient, you now choose a time. Saturday evening. Because there's nothing. It doesn't require effort, labor, commitment, or sacrifice. It will not amount to anything. Till you ask yourself, what is in my hands? Does it require this commitment? Dishonor! Dishonor! Is why you are late for the meetings. Play for me, we close here. Lack of regard. Dishonor. I'm here. I've been pastoring for a few days. There's no time. I'm called upon to preach. I'm always jittery. Always. Because I must say it the right way. I must make sure that the job is done. How would you, a whole week, a pastor of a growing church, no fasting, no vigil, no long time praying, just show up on service, say, praise the Lord, the word, it can't amount to anything, sir. What did Bildad say? He said, go and ask those who know those things. Let them tell you. Let them tell you. Whatever you focus on will always grow. Anything you focus on will grow. On relationship, it will grow. On this, it will grow. So, what is in your hands? Do you despise it? Treat it with contempt. It's of lesser honor than other things. You feel that your members are bugging you, disturbing you. The head of the church will pass them over to somebody else. One thing I want to tell you, nobody, myself inclusive, is indispensable. None of us. None. I want you to take the month of October to break away from your comfort zone and get the job done. What is in your hands? What do you have in your hands? Some folks or ministers of the gospel. What do you have in your hands? Just some guys or a growing international ministry. What do you have in your hands? A church capable of growing to thousands and thousands. Or just some guys, I show up on a Thursday, just yarn them and escape. Or their seeds that are planted, watching for the increase, following the prophecies that have gone ahead, with a good warfare. It's a time for supernatural harvest by the Spirit. Pray in local churches and reaching more people. I take it to heart. And that is how I see what is in my hand. Or, like those folks, what is this amongst many? What is this in Saints Community Church? What is this in the body of Christ? What is this in America? What is this in Kaduna? What is this in Kano? But this is a global mission. I see thousands here. I see millions impacted. If you don't see it, it will show in your conduct. And whatever you do is what you will get. Stand to your feet. What is in your hands? What do you see that you are doing? What is this amongst many? Is that what you see? Or let's close it up. Let's do something else. What is this amongst many? What is this amongst many? Is that what you think? It doesn't require all these efforts. It's just a fellowship. It's just a cell group. What is this amongst men? Who has despised the days of small food? Who has despised 20 members? Who has despised 5 workers? Who has despised the work in Shovelu?